Russ Deo is happily in retirement after a 27-year career with Johnson & Johnson. But during the winter of 2014, as he was sitting down to lunch, the phone rang. It was Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, wanting to talk about his opening for a new Undersecretary of Management. Deo, who was sworn into the job in May of 2015, admits he was a little surprised by that call. Deo tells executive editor Jason Miller about why the call from Secretary Johnson started him down a path of transforming DHS.
He's a very persuasive person, as you know. But then we went through a pretty thorough process to make sure I fully understood the implications of the job, the scope of the job. He thought about me for the job because I was, when I first met him, Vice President of Administration at Johnson & Johnson. Like DHS, Johnson & Johnson is a decentralized, large organization, and some of the responsibilities are very similar. So I pretty much had a good sense of what I was getting into. And after learning about the job, my respect for the secretary, my respect for the mission, it was not that hard a decision to decide to do it.
So let's talk a little bit about the impact over the last 9 months. Your priorities have been what? What have you really focused on? And then we're going to look forward as well.
Well, I spent the first few months just learning, as you might imagine. But my focus, and we have very clear priorities. I had two great offsite meetings with the lines of business chiefs that report to me. And we virtually are all totally aligned behind the secretary's unity of effort. One of his highest priorities, as you know, is in improving the management of DHS to make it stronger than when he found it and make it easier for future leadership to drive mission requirements and goals very well. So we have four integrated priorities that are totally in alignment, indeed, within the umbrella of the unity of effort, which are designed to drive management improvements, importantly, to make them sustainable so that they continue to help this complex organization, when it makes sense, collaborate across components to drive mission success.
So let's go through each of those four priorities on your plate, and then let's get an update of where we're at with each of them.
Unity of effort makes enormous sense to me. It's very consistent with how I think Johnson & Johnson operates. Very independent, quite different components, but when it makes sense for mission success, you need to collaborate. And that's readily apparent in a number of areas. The integrated priorities, this is for the management directorate. There are four of them. What keeps them together is, as I've indicated, is they are all designed to make sustainable unity of effort reforms and to do it in a way that drives that success. And we are very focused on these four priorities. The first one is strengthening resource allocation and reporting reliability. It's led by our CFO, but it's co-led by our Chief Readiness Support Officer, working collaboratively, but all the lines of businesses support it. None of this will surprise you, but the first element under there was resource allocation by mission area. Rather than building our budget component by component, let's focus on our critical missions. Let's make sure we're funding them appropriately to succeed in those missions. Related to that is the creation of a common appropriations structure so that we have a repeatable way, again, mission-focused, of defining and understanding what our financial capabilities are and what we have to spend. Something that's going on still, and this surprises some people, but you have to remember we're only 13 years old, and we're still working at getting our systems all working together, but we're working hard to modernize our financial system so that all the components are feeding into a common system so that we can more accurately evaluate our financial opportunities. Finally, continue to improve on the clean audit that we've been doing. We've got now 3 years in a row, but we also want to reduce the material weaknesses, not just our final clean audits on our annual financial statements. And finally, consolidate the DHS footprint. We've got groups working in 10 different regions, looking at ways. We think over time we can reduce 1 million square feet of space. And one thing that's exciting, Jason, when these groups start working out in the field like this, they find other areas of collaboration that is really making a positive difference. So that's a lot of words, but this is focused largely on our financial and our making sure that we're working together. Second priority, enhanced delivery of mission support capability through acquisition excellence. As you know, the Undersecretary for Management is the Chief Acquisition Officer for the department. We have done tremendous work, and a lot of this was done before I got there, but we are pushing this forward of having a uniform acquisition process that takes into account the interest of all the components working together to have mission success. One obvious benefit is shared services. In 2015, we saved over $450 million by buying things together. Had a conversation earlier this week with people that are looking at handheld nuclear detection devices working together. But even more importantly, as this mission-focused procurement solutions, one of the key elements of the unity of effort was the creation of the Joint Requirements Council, the JRC. Multiple components represented, led by a component leader that will define on a critical acquisition, what is the capability we need to acquire? Let's make sure we have the input of all the components. Let's define those requirements, and let's not move forward to the next step of the acquisition process until we get that right. Huge improvement. So mission-focused procurement solutions, very much focused on collaborating with our businesses that provide services and materials to the department to make sure we're getting the benefit of their insights about how we can improve the process. I know you've discussed this with Soraya. That's a real focus. And then the third piece here is just effective policy and proactive oversight. We've taken input from GAO. We've taken input from the Inspector General. We've seen ourselves how we can improve this process to have appropriate oversight. And we've adopted many of the recommendations of GAO in this process. And I'm very excited about the difference it can make.
Let me jump in real quick on that. Both the financial side and the acquisition side are areas that DHS has really struggled with during the, as you said, 13-year life of the agency. On the financial side, the clean audit's a huge plus 3 years in a row, as you said. The move to shared services, which kind of dovetails into the acquisition side, where is that at with the financial management side?
We are on the road to a common modern financial system. It's based upon using some common suppliers of those services. So we're working with the Department of Labor, for example, to line up there. So it's not going to be one single system, but it'll be people feeding into a common system. It takes time. Right now, we're adding in a small component, going through that process of transitioning them over. We've got the Coast Guard still to do down the road. It's important, Jason, that you understand that we don't want to put everybody in at once because of the risk to the financial system that would correct. We care deeply about our internal controls and maintaining that clean audit. We're staging it. So it won't be accomplished during the next year at all. This will take several years. But I would rather keep pushing it forward and get it right rather than try to do it all at once and create problems for ourselves.
And then I think related to that is the Joint Requirements Council, as you talked a little bit about, the fact you're bringing people together around the mission area to say, okay, what do we need and can we all use it or can we use the 80-20, right?
Exactly.
Talk a little bit about the JRC and that impact and what it means from an acquisition planning perspective.
It's huge. And this organization has really made a difference in both having the financial knowledge to determine, you know, is it going to be worth the cost to fulfill this capability requirement? And then absolute clear definition of the requirements before it goes forward. It takes discipline. It takes regularity. But having all of those components represented and they understand the mission purpose, you get buy-in. And then people see the value. And then when we have the same discipline on all of our acquisitions, people get used to the process. So you need this documentation. Okay, I get it. Thanks to Soraya's leadership and the people in procurement, we've got procurement people across the components now that are certified. Many have worked in more than one component. They know what the expectations are. They're working well with their business partners. We are really getting to the point of having a well-disciplined, common approach that is bought into. Our challenge is to make sure it's sustainable, that we stick with it.
And I think that's part of the key. Is it bought into? Are you making that culture change?
I think it is. I don't have perfect line of sight, to be honest, but I do try to get out in the field. I do try to talk to people. When we created these priorities, I discussed it with each component head to make sure that there wasn't something missing and this made sense to them. They do understand it. When you look at unity of effort and how the pieces fit together from the Senior Leadership Council to the DMAG, you know, the Deputy Action Committee, how that feeds into the JRC, people see how all the pieces fit together. I believe they feel they have a voice. I mentioned the DMAG. That's the Deputy Management Action Group. That's often the Deputy Director lead of each component and other leadership under the Deputy Secretary's leadership. Again, making and discussing critical issues that cut across the components working together. So yes, I think, you know, we're not at the point where it's become so routinized that it's just the natural way we do business. Certainly on the procurement end it is. On the kind of the left side of the acquisition process, we need to keep building it. But I think people are seeing the benefit. I testified last week, as you know. When's the last time you saw the GAO, IG, and leadership all taking the same position that this makes sense? So I think the leadership across DHS sees it, and I think we are starting to see the benefit, and yes, we can make it part of the culture.
Russ Deo is the Homeland Security Department's Undersecretary of Management, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. You can learn more about Deo's priorities at federalnewsradio.com.